minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I am Brady Hull, joined as always by the one and only Colfax a Million on the other side of the bulletproof glass. And Susan and Cheryl hanging out back there today. The live studio audience. They're excited about this George Payton thing, man. I mean, the more we look into it, the more we read on it, the more we hear about him. I think this is one of those home runs, and just make you feel a little bit better about John Elway's situation. I mean, he's the guy pretty much responsible for this happening if he doesn't step down, and of course he's involved in this process now. Mostly his decision at this stage. Vic Fangio wanted the guy. And away we go. George Payton, we know, 4 seasons with the Vikings, did sign a 6-year deal. I don't know what the language looks like. I mean, again, contracts in sports, Colfax, I mean, they're only as good as long as you honor them. You don't have to honor contracts. You can fire guys all the time. But 6-year deal, that will carry him from this transition, from this group to whatever that ownership situation looks like into the future. So a 6-year deal. They go to Elway's Steakhouse, and everybody's talking about the fact that Joe Ellis and George Payton and John Elway, they all have a steak. What do you think a steak is worth at have you ever been there? You ever been to Elway's Steakhouse?
I have not.
I've never been there either.
No.
I heard the burger was like $20, though. So what do you think the steak was? but anyway, Vic orders a cheeseburger, and everybody's like, well, that's Vic for you. I mean, I'm probably going to order, if you go to a place like that, are you ordering a steak or are you ordering a burger? You got, the money's no.
Well, then definitely the steak.
You going with the steak?
Yeah, obviously.
I don't know what it is. I'm just a burger guy.
If it was lunch, though, I might get a burger.
Over a steak?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think it was.
What time of day was it?
This was in the evening, because they did do a lunch, and then they went to Elway Steakhouse, and that's kind of where the deal was pretty much getting celebrated, I suppose. Sounds like it's a good move, man. I mean, he also had an interview with Detroit, chose Denver. This was a candidate. Everybody wanted this guy for the longest time, and he was picky. You know, it's kind of like different positions, but kind of like the Josh McDaniels thing. You know, obviously, once he left and tried the Broncos head coaching thing, he went back to the Patriots. His name's come up a lot as far as where you're going to go. And he kind of, after that stint or whatever, stayed with New England. Even though his name keeps coming up, George Payton was doing things there. He was assistant GM, but he was making trades. He was responsible for a lot of big moves there. So it's not like he was just, you know, he was a supporting assistant GM. He was given the reins to do some things. And so, Minnesota made the playoffs 6 times in his 14 years with the Vikings. I mean, this is a guy that is no stranger to quarterbacks either. And they will go after quarterbacks if they feel like they want to dip their toes into free agency. If they want to draft somebody. I mean, he was there when they signed Brett Favre. That seems like an eternity ago, but he was a part of this team. He was assistant GM then. Traded for Sam Bradford. They signed Kirk Cousins. You know, drafted Teddy Bridgewater. Quarterbacks, yeah, there's a lot of at least big-name quarterbacks. I don't know how, you know, in terms of how successful. We know Brett Favre's third stint, I guess. Fourth stint, right? Falcons, Packers. Forget about that Falcons year. Falcons, Packers, and then he went with the Jets, which was very forgettable. And then he went to Minnesota, which he had a really good year that first year. Kind of fizzled the final year. But that first year, I mean, they were going to go to the NFC Championship, right? So a history of quarterbacks there. It seems like the right move. Now, you just don't know. At the end of the day, the players will still have to perform. But based on everything that we're hearing, sure sounds like this was the move. This was the way to go for the Broncos. First Advantage text line, get at us here today, 970-478-1301. What do you guys think? George Payton, based on what you know. You very excited or are you just kind of like, guess we'll see. When I first heard it, you know, I was like, oh, here we go. Searching for a GM. Haven't had to worry about that in a while. Here we go. George Payton, all right. You really don't know until they get into the mix. I mean, we didn't know John Elway was going to be any good. Sure, he played, and he had the history with the Crush, the Colorado Crush, right? He ran that program, or he ran that team, and then that league went up belly under. But he was, you know, he won a championship there. He learned how to manage a football team, and then he comes in and, you know, made some big things happen right off the bat. Now, when John Elway came in, you'll remember. I mean, Pat Bowlen had made the decision to move on. Pat Bowlen and Joe Ellis made the decision to move on from Josh McDaniels, and that's when Elway comes in and makes his first big. He had to make a move, though, right? You had to hire a coach, so he hired John Fox. You know, that was one of the big things. I remember he was also responsible for re-signing Champ, extending that contract. That was a big move, and then part of the draft for Von Miller. It's a big moves there. So what kind of moves will George Payton make? Taking a splash in a free agency? Trying to secure your own. I mean, I know we've talked about it ad nauseum, all the big moves that George Payton has to have, the checklist. How he handles Von Miller, it's going to come with some negative. Unless he can get this contract down, man. How about that? If George Payton comes in and can get Von down to, what was Zach telling us yesterday, Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos, get him down to 11? If you could do that, then, yeah, I think we're all going to walk away and go, wow, we got our Von, and you got him for half off, so that's going to free up a lot of space for a quarterback, or whatever you might do. Lieutenant Spangle says, I think you'll be getting a new QB with the hire. The question is, how? Because in his history with Minnesota, they've traded for big names, they've signed free agents in big names, and they've drafted big names. Now, in the draft, Trevor Lawrence is, that's not happening, unless you don't have enough assets even to get up that far. It's not happening, so scratch that one off your list. Justin Fields is a reality. Out of Ohio State, Zach Wilson, BYU. Trey Lance out of North Dakota State. Mac Jones out of Bama. Scared about drafting a quarterback out of Bama. The thing that scares me about that, Colfax, is Alabama is okay, even though I joke about the comparison, Alabama's never going to beat the Jets or the Jags. If there was a team to do it, it'd be Alabama, because they're like an NFL team. They're ran like an NFL team. They produce NFL players. They don't always produce the best quarterbacks, though. So the argument is, well, they're always so damn good that the quarterback's really not the savior most of the time. Now, again, with Tua and Jalen Hurts, who started with Bama and then transferred, we're starting to see the narrative change a little bit, but I still hesitate. I go back over to the corners, though. It does seem like it's going to be either a quarterback or a cornerback. He played defensive back at UCLA. This is his, you know, first stint as GM. Does he draft to the position he knows the best? And if that's the case, there can be two guys at 9 that will be available. It's going to either be Caleb Farley out of Virginia Tech or Patrick Surtain Jr. Yeah, because what's cool about this draft is you have Asante Samuel Jr., Patrick Surtain Jr. Their dads were stud cornerbacks, and here they are. But Asante Samuel Jr. is probably going to be a second, third-round guy. The two main guys in the first round, top 15, would be Caleb Farley, Patrick Surtain. I try to go through, like, I don't know, 100 different mock drafts. Everyone I look at so far has Farley or Surtain. I've seen probably about a mix right now, 50-50. So I'm excited to see what he does there. But before you got to figure out the Justin Simmons thing. I mean, I'm looking at this depth chart. I mean, Colfax, you look at the depth chart on defense, and A.J. Boye is going to be out for, what, 2 games because of the PED suspension? But you do have him locked up for the year. You do have Bryce Callahan for another year. Bryce's problem is he can't stay healthy. He got hurt in Chicago, didn't play last year, played this year, was really good, then he gets hurt again. And then, you know, you had your rookie last year with Michael Ojemudia. You're happy with him. So, do you go corner? That's the, you know, I'm all about the four pillars. You've heard me talk about it. You get your two pass rushers, you get your two shutdown corners, and let's go win some football games. Well, the Broncos have their pass rusher in Bradley Chubb. I don't know if he's not elite, right? He's a Pro Bowler, but if you can keep Vaughn, then I'm pretty happy with that group. I'm not going to say they're the best pass rushing duo in the league, But I'm pretty happy with that, with those two guys. Now, AJ Boye and Bryce Callahan, are they shut down? Bryce Callahan's close, but when you look at injury history, you've got to wonder if he's going to be able to finish seasons. How many games is he going to miss? Do you still? And then OJ Mutia was a rookie last year. Remember, a third round pick. So you definitely need depth there. So you're definitely going to draft a corner. Are you going to draft one with the pick with number nine? And if you, and if Vaughn's not there, does the question come up about pass rusher? Do you think Malik Reed can take the next step to be an elite pass rusher, or do you draft a pass rusher? Or do you draft a linebacker? They're definitely, right, they're going defense. What could they do on offense? They could probably go to lineman, but, you know, you, Juwan James is coming back, and I don't know how that situation is going to go, but you got to feel pretty good about your offensive line. You had a rookie center. Dalton Reisner told us yesterday on the program, Garrett Bowles and Dalton Reisner, they have a goal to be the best left side in the NFL. And Graham Glasgow, who was out, missed some time. I like the offensive line, so I don't see you going offensive line. You're not going running back. You're not going wide receiver, please, ever again. That much. You might go quarterback. That's it. You're not going tight end. So, I mean, your only option really is on the offense is quarterback. Then you go defense. It's, if you lock up Simmons, the safety's not really that big of a concern. Linebacker's going to be an issue. The D-line, I mean, Draymond Jones, I think, took a step. DeMarcus Walker. And then you're going to get Jarrell Casey back, who was on the IR early, start of season. Mike Purcell. And then, obviously, Shelby Harris. What are they going to do there? A lot of questions, but it's going to be middle linebacker or corner and then quarterback. I would imagine that's where you go. So if you go corner, if it's a Caleb Farley, if it's a Patrick Surtain, what does that do? I mean, one of those guys is going to start then because A.J. Boye is not going to start. And I would imagine O.J. Moody is going to stay in that nickel and dime. That's where I'd go. I'd go corner. But I can see the argument for linebacker. I certainly can see the argument for quarterback. But do you want to do this thing all over again? Because this is, Vic has to be better. Vic Fangio has to do better than five wins. And if you go back and you say, hey, we're going to draft, is Drew Lock better than a prospect right now? That's the question. Because if you think you can win, you know, you want Vic Fangio here. Vic was hammering the desk. He wants George Payton. He wanted George Payton. So clearly he thinks that George is going to come in and give him the tools he needs to find success and remain a Denver Broncos head coach. But to remain a Broncos head coach, I mean, what is the limit? Don't you have to win eight games if you're Vic Fangio? I mean, seven is not that big of an improvement, and you're missing the playoffs. Another losing record. They're 23-41 in 5 years. That's a kind of a depressing stat. You know, I know you guys are giving me crap because I said, are the Broncos the Browns? Brady, that's 20 years. No, no. Well, okay, but I like what you said, Colfax.
Yeah, you can't be as bad as the Browns if you don't start off as bad.
Yeah.
In 5 years.
You gotta get them somewhere.
Yeah.
You don't just wake up and it's 20 years of bad football.
You got to get those 5 years.
You got to get five in first, and then you put another five in, and then you got to put in the work. I get it. But the Broncos are off to that. The first quarter of that, you know, 23-41. That's very Brown-esque. So something's got to change here, and I don't think a quarterback comes in here overnight. Now, again, Matt Stafford, you go trade for him. Does that make your offense better? Theoretically, it should. Their offensive line, I'm going to say it, they're good. I like Melvin Gordon. They should be stacked at wide receiver. They might have one of the deepest wide receiver depth chart in the NFL with Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, Jerry Jeudy, and KJ Hamler. That's a deep, deep group of wide receivers. It almost makes me wonder if they should trade one of them. Like Jerry Jeudy. I know he was a top 10 pick. Or were they 12 last year? What were they? I know he was a top pick, but do you consider that? I mean, seriously, I'm just looking at the depth. I kind of liked KJ more than Jeudy. And obviously Sutton is a monster, and Tim Patrick was their most consistent wide receiver last season. Um, Zach Wilson out of BYU. That's Lieutenant Spangle saying Zach Wilson is Denver's draft pick. I'll call it now and put my prediction in. And that's the thing. What is the goal for the Broncos next year? And are you better off with Drew Lock, who's had now 2 years of experience, NFL experience? I know he didn't play the first year full season. But are you better off with a guy with 2 years of experience and still has a question mark because there are still doubts? There are still people out there that are wondering if he's going to be good. I don't think so, but the possibility still exists. Dixon says, Vaughn, for half, you're out of your tree. Brady, this is the trust tree here. Okay, you can trust each other. Brady, Brady, do you honestly think Vaughn is settling for anything less than 15 to 16? Don't say, well, I don't know, we'll see. Like you always tell us, what do you really think? No, I don't think he'll settle for 11. I don't think he'll settle for 12. I don't think he'll settle for 13. So that's where the Broncos are going to have to decide. Okay, 22. If you get from 22 to 16, I think that's a victory. But the Broncos have to really evaluate. Vic has never been, you've heard Vic Fangio, he's never been at the podium going, Vaughn's so amazing, I love him, he's awesome. He's never really given him that. He doesn't really give that to anybody. But he's always said, yeah, Vaughn could be better. He's good, but he could be better. He always says that. Oh, I'm very curious to see what they do here with that. Or do they even bother with it? I am very torn on this issue. No, I'm answering your question, though. No. I don't think. If he does, George Payton, they should build a statue of him and put it in the front. Because if you can get a $22 million superstar to go down to 11, then you've done something amazing with your life already. I'm curious to see if he's up to that task and the incentives and all that. But I don't know. Big story of the day, Colfax. We got to get to it. I know we've been talking Broncos here. Big story of the day presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. All right, James Harden, you can start to shed the pounds now, because now you're on a team that you want to be on. The Rockets have sent James Harden to the Nets in a blockbuster 4-team trade. These deals in the NBA are just always so damn confusing to me. It involves the Pacers and the Cavs. Now James Harden is reunited with Kevin Durant back in their OKC days. The Nets and the Rockets announced yesterday the trade. Well, I guess they officially announced it this morning, but it happened yesterday. Brooklyn dealt Houston a package that includes guard Caris LeVert and 3 first-round draft picks. So Houston's going to have 3 first-round draft picks. League sources told ESPN's Wojnarowski and Roman Shelburne that the Rockets will trade LeVert to the Indiana Pacers for Victor Oladipo. Wow. I mean, that's a good player. He was a player I considered, you know, should the Nuggets be reaching out. The Rockets and Pacers have not yet announced that deal overall, so we're still waiting on all of it to go through. Center Jared Allen and forward Taurean Prince are headed from the Nets to the Cavs, while the Rockets received Cleveland guard Dante Exum and Brooklyn forward Rodins Kurosis. Man. That's a crazy, crazy deal. Houston also receives the 3 unprotected first-round picks from Brooklyn in 2022, 2024, and 2026, plus pick swaps in 2021, 2023, 2025, and 2027. The Nets announced the Rockets also get Cleveland's 2022 first-round pick via the Milwaukee Bucks, and Houston is sending a 2023 second-round pick to the Pacers. Sources told ESPN, I'm not going to retain any of that. What you need to know is this Harden thing shook up like 4 teams big time. Brooklyn will get a 2024 second round pick from the Cavs. I was reading yesterday that Brooklyn was prepared to offer anything Houston wanted except for Kevin Durant. I will give you anything. I will give you my firstborn child if we can get James Harden and that beard over here. Is it going to work? Not enough basketballs. And if Kyrie comes back, is he on his hiatus still? Is he on his walkabout? What's he doing? I don't think there's enough basketballs. But we'll see. 24 minutes after the hour. It is Thursday. We're going to have our Thursday night special coming up. We have Kevin Lytle coming up. We've got, what else? Chris Dempsey's going to join us as well. Talk more Jamal Murray. I know you guys hate me for this, but I'm just pointing stuff out, folks. I'm trying to educate hooligans. You guys just want to go about your lives and say, you know, don't be so hard on Jamal Murray, Brady. He's you want to win a title? Because I do. I've been a Nuggets fan my entire life. I have an Alex English jersey that I can't fit into anymore. It's really sad. And I'll never get down to be able to wear that again, Colfax. It was my brother's, actually. But so I've been a diehard fan. I'm ready for greatness. And so, Jamal, you got to be that guy because we're paying you like it. And it starts tonight. Got the Golden State Warriors coming to town. 25 after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Our Power to Play Sports poll question. Who's going to be better? The Nuggets or the Avalanche? Avalanche lost. Kind of a rough one for them last night. Who's better? Nugs or the Avs? Go to thewholeshow.com. We'll be right back.
When it starts, we'll be ready. High school basketball in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gale. Weekdays 6 to 9 in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Don't forget, guys, we're in the process of registering people for our NoCo Mobile Gaming Madden tournament coming up on February 6th. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a Saturday. It's going to be a lot of fun. They're going to park it out at St. Michael Square, right across from the tavern at St. Michael Square. So, you know, go grab a beer, grab a burger, go lose real fast, and then go grab another beer and another burger maybe. I don't know. But this is going to be a lot of fun. We'll register somebody today. We might go easy on the hooligans today. We might do something. We've been challenging you guys. So you've been working hard. We appreciate it. So you want to be in our Madden Challenge? The winner gets a PS5. That's it. It's a PS5. There's no purchase or anything necessary to get in. You just get a free PS5. You win the tournament. There you go. Brand new. Take it home and enjoy it. So get involved in this tournament. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Who's going to be better this year? The Nuggets or the Avs? Avs certainly have the highest expectations, I think. They're supposed to be, you know, Nathan McKinnon talking about it ahead of the season before last night, saying this is the first time in his career where he really, really feels like this team could really win it all. And so, I mean, Joe Sakic's been making huge moves. This team should be very, it's one game. You don't freak out about that. You're not like the Nuggets you should be more concerned with. They're 5-6. They played 11 games. If this, you know, if the Avs sputter out the gates kind of like a 1-3 start, then yeah, you might start doing the same things that Nuggets fans are doing. But you know, they were kind of sloppy last night. Again, I don't know a lot about hockey, but seemed like they were sloppy against St. Louis. And yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens with this Avs team. I mean, I'm probably going to pick the Avs. The Avs are going to have the better season. And again, that could change throughout this process, but you know, the Nuggets have some questions. They have a lot of questions. And you know, when you have another star in your team that's supposed to be a star and he's not playing like a star, that's a big deal. So, and I know you guys give me crap. I'm being too hard on Jamal Murray. He's a superstar now. This is what comes with that. You can't just be in the bubble and talk about shoes, and now he's wearing different shoes all the time. He's tweeting about it. He's tweeting at the media saying, oh, what's my problem tonight? I can't shoot, whatever. I mean, being a superstar comes with a lot, and you got to be ready to take it. 32 minutes after the hour, Colorado State plays tonight. They play San Jose State. They need to win these next two games because the four games after that are the top two teams in the conference. So, yeah, the Rams need to take care of business coming up. We're going to talk to Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, about that coming up. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. You're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll have Chris Dempsey on talking Nuggets in the second hour, as well as our Thursday night special. Looking forward to that. It's going to be basketball related, so it might be a shocker to most of you. Kelly Lyle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. Speaking of basketball, Colorado State getting back at it tonight against San Jose State. And Kelly, if there's trap games in college basketball, I feel like these next two games could be just that, because Utah State and Boise State are on the horizon, and those two teams continue to win in the conference. So the Rams can't look past this San Jose State team tonight and on Saturday.
Yeah, they can't look past them, but at the same time, this is a pretty bad San Jose State team they're going up against. I mean, yes, the Spartans, after losing by 50 one day, turned around and only lost 2 days later by one against Boise State. But this is a team that does not have a Division I win this season. They beat an NAIA school who the game counted as an exhibition for, St. Benedictine of Mesa, Arizona, and then they beat Division II Fresno Pacific. Otherwise, they're 0-6, against Division I competition. So Colorado State should, as long as they don't just go in totally sleepwalking through this game, should be able to win. But that atmosphere's got to be strange. I mean, they're playing at a health club. Mm. That's where San Jose State is playing its home games, at a health club in Phoenix. There will be absolutely nobody but the bare minimum number of people there. Certainly, we're not traveling this year anyway with Colorado State basketball because of COVID reasons and other things. But they wouldn't let us in even if we were traveling. This would be a game we wouldn't be able to go into, from what other beat writers have told me. So it's going to be strange. It's going to be a very different environment. You know, it's one thing to play in an empty arena, but you're at least still in an arena. And when you're playing San Jose State on the road, you're used to having virtually no fans there because they don't get anybody at their home games when they're in San Jose either. But it's still a different look. You're still in a large arena with kind of the sight lines. This is going to be a little bit different. They're going to have to kind of readjust their the way they approach this game just from a mental standpoint. And again, that does make it potentially that trap game you talk about that, you know, well, they still need to take it seriously. They can't afford a lapse. A loss to this team would be so detrimental to the things that Colorado State's capable of this season. So yeah, they are in a stretch where they're going to have to keep their focus through these games. And as you said, Utah State, Boise State coming up mean a lot the next two series after this one.
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting, too. I've asked myself this. I've asked coaches. I've asked players. You know, in a regular arena, no fans. How do you get yourself ready for that? You know, you're used to running out, and if it's especially a home game for you, you know, you're used to your home crowd cheering you on. You get those pregame jitters, maybe not nervous, but you're just getting pumped up. Does that got a completely different feel to it? And then, like you said, where San Jose State's playing, I mean, I wonder, you know, again, this tests your mental toughness here, and I suppose if there's anyone to get this group ready for that, though, it's Nico Medved. We've all been so impressed by just everything he's able to do with this young team.
And that's an interesting thing. I think Nico Medved has shown a pretty good ability to get his team prepared for what it needs to be prepared for on a given night, pretty much throughout his, you know, short tenure so far at Colorado State. But this is a team that, you know, they've generally played at a high level when they've needed to. The exception, you know, they went in and got steamrolled at St. Mary's. But St. Mary's is a pretty good program, too. That wasn't just that the Rams were a little off on their game. They were facing a pretty darn good team that really was able to capitalize on them not being on top of their game. I don't think San Jose State is a good enough team to be able to capitalize on a bad day by the Rams. But again, you know, any team can beat any team if the right ingredients are all there. So Colorado State does need to go in and they need to play solid. And I think they need to use these two games to really maybe build a little more confidence. You know, not these fall behind and come back kind of wins we keep seeing. Go out and just take it to somebody and control a game from start to finish, because I think they need that kind of confidence before they go to Utah State next week and host Boise State after that.
Yeah, huge. I mean, you said it. Those games after the San Jose State game, and I got to say it. I like these little mini series. I like what a lot of these conferences are doing. I hope that's something considered for the next year, but I don't know how they'll do it. But I like it. I think it's fun. But those two teams in front of them, you're going to know a lot about it. We asked last week, you know, if the Rams had a shot to win the regular season title, and most would say no. But I guess if you're going to have that shot, you know, this is your chance to prove it. If you can come out the other end fairly successful against Utah State and Boise State, then maybe that conversation heats up a little more.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, Boise State's going to be huge that way. The fact that, you know, Boise State's looking pretty good. They swept Wyoming handily. I watched part of both of those games, and, you know, both until they got so out of hand, there wasn't much reason. Well, I guess the first one I was flipping back and forth from the national championship game Monday night, but every time I turned it on, Boise State was definitely in control. And then, you know, they really seized control last night in Laramie. So Boise State's a really good team, and the Rams are going to have to be on top of their game to have a chance to sweep that series. But if they do, you couple that along with a split at San Diego State, and they're sitting pretty for a chance to really make a legitimate run. If they can get hot and beat Utah State in Logan for two games, that's going to be a tough chore, yeah, too. But it's there. It's on the horizon for them. And really, their schedule kind of after those games gets a little bit easier. You've got Nevada left, but you're kind of past most of the juggernauts in the conference. And you know, that then who knows what can happen.
Kelly Lyle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kelly, last week I asked you about, you know, how successful Nico could get with this team. Would that be a concern for Rams fans that someday he's gone? Well, this one, I'm changing the tone of this one a little bit. I'm seeing a lot of this on social media and just different groups that I'm in, saying that Nico Medved's going to be the next, going to be the basketball version of Sonny Lubick. What do you say to that?
You know, it's within the realm of possibility. He came to Fort Collins because he really likes it here. You know, everybody's like, oh, he only stayed at Drake for a year. He did this, he did that. He only stayed at Drake for a year because this job opened up. He made it very clear that he wasn't leaving Drake in general. He liked what was going on there. He left because he thought this was a once-in-a-lifetime type of job opportunity for him, and he didn't want to let the opportunity to coach at Colorado State pass. He really enjoyed his time here as an assistant coach under Tim Miles, and then the extra year he stayed under Larry Eustace. He likes Fort Collins. He wants to raise his family here. He likes the people here. He is a good fit for this town and this university. Again, if all of a sudden the University of Minnesota job were to open up and become available to him, that would probably be really tough for him to say no to. That's hometown and who he grew up watching. But other than that, I think Colorado State has a chance to keep Nico here for a long, long time. And he has a chance to have a really good, long-term, successful run here if the situation works out.
Yeah, I mean, you can only hope, right? You want to Colorado State, you know, you want to get those coaches that they're very successful. They could potentially go not necessarily anywhere, but to big jobs outside of Colorado State, outside of the Mountain West. But they just have this loyalty to the program, to the city, to the state, and that's what you saw with Sonny Lubick. So I don't know. When I see that, I get excited because I'm ready to see something like that again. You know, you saw on the football side with McElwain, it was fun, it was exciting, but at the end of the day, didn't think it would last long. But as you and I talked about last week, it's a different feel here because Coach Medved does love the city of Fort Collins. He does love Colorado State. So I'm hopeful for it. And again, even if this year doesn't end up in a regular season Mountain West Conference title for them in the regular season, you got to feel pretty good about it even next year, too. This team's going to be competitive for a while.
Oh, you look at what they bring in. And you know, the amazing thing, we look every year, you watch this team, and the best players are the new guys.
Yeah.
The new young guys coming in are better than the guys in front. I mean, I remember that, you know, 2 years ago we were talking, wow, look at Kendall Moore, look at Adam Thistlewood. Well, you know, then last year, look at Isaiah Stevens, look at David Roddy. You know, you've got really talented guys coming in. Now we're looking at John Tanji. You know, you've got really talented players coming in each year that are as good or better than the guys ahead of them. So, yeah, there's some real potential here. And You know, who knows what this year is going to ultimately mean, because nobody's using any eligibility. That's a huge thing, too. You know, David Roddy's going to come back next year, and Isaiah Stevens is going to come back next year, and they're still going to be sophomores. That's kind of hard to believe. Yeah. They are the two best players on this basketball team right now, this year, and they're only going to be sophomores next season. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, that opportunities won't come along where they decide to, you know, graduate and transfer or something like that, or jump to, you know, if they're really good enough, jump to the pros. But more than likely, they're going to stick around here for several more years. And that's an exciting thing alone. Just to watch those guys play is fun. I still like watching sometimes in games, they get into a little, when the Rams really need a bucket, they get into a little two-man show, those two, and they create a play to get points on the board. And I've seen them do that repeatedly the last 2 years, and they're only going to get even better and more comfortable at that over time.
Yeah, big things coming up for Colorado State. Take care of San Jose State tonight and Saturday, and then we get to talk about some four big games coming up for this Rams team. Kelly, what are you working on for us the next couple of days we can check out at the Colorado one?
Right now, working on a story about esports, actually, which is kind of out of my realm. I've never been a big gamer, but Colorado State has a team, and Rocky Mountain High School has a team that recently won a state championship. It's a little bit different. I'm learning a lot more about how these things work, and that there's it's not really some guy hanging out in his basement with a high-end computer avoiding everybody else. There's actually teamwork and strategy and a lot of cooperation and planning and coaching that goes into this, which I would never have expected. And then also just kind of a little roundup on where Colorado State looks with spring sports, what's happening with as new sports seasons as they launch into a spring volleyball season, a spring soccer season, a spring soccer, you know, softball season, all these other sports that are starting back up. How those seasons are going to look. Indoor track released a schedule today that's three meets, way less than they normally do, but it's three more meets than I thought they might have. So we'll see where all that goes.
Yeah, no question. Kelly, appreciate you, man, and I'll look forward to that. I'm very interested in that esports thing just to get an idea. It's something new to all of us, I think. But appreciate you as always. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins, Colorado one. Okay, on that note, we're talking esports. I'm going to make this one easy today because I'm lazy and I don't feel like challenging you. I'm looking for someone to register for a Madden challenge. It's going to be so much fun. It's February 6th in the afternoon at St. Michael Square. It's NoCo Mobile Gaming. We're hooking it up there, man. We've already got several hooligans in the mix. I'm going to go caller number 7. If you're caller number 7, there's no cost to enter, nothing like that, nothing weird. Just come out, play with the hooligans, and you got a shot. You got a 1 in 19 shot to win a PS5. So go ahead. Caller number 7, 970-353-1310 on our First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310. The Buffs were down 18-11. They're playing right now, but they came storming back. And it's halftime. They're now up 34-23 at halftime. So the Buffs getting it back under control there in Boulder. All right, 12:50 the time. We're going to take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
It's a party. Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party. Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. NoCo Now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back. Our game beer of the week, this one's from On the Rocks Liquor, as always, from Soulcraft Brewing in Salida. That's our game beer of the week. It's a green chili ale. You can pick up selections from Odell's or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru. They're open until midnight. Also introducing Molly Brown Spirits from Denver. Got the bourbon whiskey and rye whiskey available only at On the Rocks Liquor in Northern Colorado. So check them out. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Okay, cool. We're getting people signed up for this bad boy. I got 14 spots left, so we're going to fill those up within probably the next 2 weeks. So excited to get this thing going, man. The first ever Madden Challenge. And Greeley Bears Pop Warner hooking us up with that PS5, NoCo Mobile Gaming. If you've never been inside there, if you've never heard of them, Google them, search them out on Facebook. I love this business. I'm very passionate about this business, Colfax, because we used to do this stuff as kids. But it was like so time consuming, and you know, you had to transport all your Xboxes, and if Billy didn't have an Xbox One and he had a PS5 or PS1 or whatever the hell was out when I was there, you couldn't do it. You know, you need 8 Xboxes to do the system link. Well, this is great. They bring all the consoles to you. So if you're thinking about a party, a birthday party, I don't know, man, maybe the playoffs start at, you know, whatever, 11 o'clock. And you want to have your own little mini Madden tournament tailgate style, you can do that too. There's a lot of opportunities with NoCo Mobile Gaming, and we're gonna show a lot of the hooligans what that bad boy is all about. So I'm pumped for it. It's going to be a great time. First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301. Our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Who's going to be better, the Nuggets or the Avs? The Avs kind of get shellacked last night, 4-1, but the Nuggets certainly have their issues. I think the Avs are a favorite still. The Nuggets are not a favorite. They might have been number two coming into the season, but 11 games later, we're talking about, okay, they're going to be a playoff team, but are they going to be lower half? Are they going to be in that play-in game thing? Which I don't know about you, but I don't trust the Nuggets in a play-in game. I still trust the Nuggets down 2-1 or something, but I don't trust a play-in game. So I need to see some special things tonight, man. I mean, Golden State's resurging even without Klay Thompson. They're trying to, you know, Steph Curry's playing at an elite level again after everybody called him out. But I got to see it tonight, you know. And again, I'm putting all that pressure on Jamal. Is he going off tonight? Last 3 or 4 nights, he's been average, so I think Jamal Murray goes off tonight. We're going to do the Jamal Murray Index, and tonight I think he has one of those huge games. All right, second hour coming up. Chris Dempsey coming up. We got the Thursday Night Special. More on George Payton, Vic Fangio's future, and so much more. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.